Well, it's good to be back. Last weekend, Jill and I were on our anniversary trip, we call it. We go down to Iowa to a Christian music festival and worship in a field with 20,000 other Christians. It's in a field in Iowa. But God is everywhere, right? Even in Iowa fields. And it was great worship. But there's something about coming back home and worshiping here as well. But no matter where you are, you can feel that presence of God's Spirit. His Spirit dwells within you. And when we worship with Him, that Spirit just comes alive. It's just, yes, that connection to God increases. But we have Him to thank for everything. For everything. So Lord, we worship You this morning. We thank You this morning. And we praise You this morning. Let us hear from Him, from His Word.
Good morning. Our reading this morning is from Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 25. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is, His body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for He who promised is faithful, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. The second reading is from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6, verses 1 through 9. These are the commands, decrees, and laws of the Lord your God, directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all His decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, Israel, and be careful to obey, so that it may go well with you, and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Here ends the lesson.
Please stand if you're able for the reading of the gospel. Today's gospel is found in the book of Matthew, chapter 28, verses 16 through 19. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw Him, they worshipped Him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." You may be seated. Let's have a children's sermon here. We got some kids. You can come on up. I got to go grab something. But just hang out right here. Jacob, Braden, come on. All right. Let's bring this over here so we can all see a little bit better. You guys, come on over. Come on up there, buddy. All righty. So you guys think you're pretty good? No? Maybe? Yeah, we all tend to think we're pretty good. You know, we don't do much wrong. Maybe everybody else does a lot of wrong things, but we don't, right? That's a dangerous mindset to have. And sometimes we fall into that. It's a part of pride and self where we think we're better than everybody else, that, you know, there's nothing wrong with us. We think we're like this piece of white cloth here, just nice and pure white, right? Nothing wrong with it. But in reality, we might think we see us this way, but God sees us in a different way. You want to take that and spray this. Yeah, over here, this part. Yeah, okay, there we go. What does that say? Well, what's the first letter?
Sin.
Sin, right. And God sees our sin, even if we think it's not there. And we're all stained by sin, it turns out. We all do things wrong. Hard as we try, we're going to do something wrong. So we can try to get rid of this sin. Now, I can try to wash this off with soap and water. It's not going to work. It won't come off. I didn't bring soap and water in here, but I could prove that to you. It didn't. So how can we get rid of that? How can we get rid of sin? What do you think? With that, I brought that in here for a reason, huh? You think this has something to do with it? Well, if I put this white cloth into a red liquid, what's going to happen to it? It's going to what?
I have no idea.
No idea. If I put a piece of white cloth into a red liquid, I pull the cloth back out, what does it look like now? You think it would turn red? Yeah. You stick something in red paint, it's going to come out red, right? Okay. So what happens to a white rock if you throw it in the Red Sea? It gets wet. Okay. Anyway, never mind. So we got the white and the red here. But there is only one thing I can take this away, and that's the blood of Jesus. So if we were to put it in the blood of Jesus, is the only thing I can remove that sin, because Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Yeah, came out white, huh? So yeah, only Jesus can take away that sin. And he did it with the sacrifice on the cross. All glory to him. All right, he didn't use chemistry like I did. Okay, did something much more powerful. Thanks for showing up, kids. I appreciate it. It's good to see you every time. All righty. Oops, here we go. Thanks for helping everybody. Appreciate it. Set this back here. All right, Lord, we thank you that you take away our sin. You're the only one who can. We can try to clean ourselves up. We can try to follow the law exactly, but it doesn't work. You are the only one who can, and all glory to you. All righty, out at St. John's today, we're celebrating the 150th anniversary. So if you want to worship some more, just come out there at 10 o'clock for worship, a lunch to follow, and a program. It's going to be good. And as I had that in mind, I started, well, the other day I was out there, had a little extra time, so I started walking through the cemetery and seeing these headstones that go way back, you know, the 1800s, and if you're in New England or something, you'd find ones that go even further back, of course, over in Europe, yeah, they go way back. But each of those represents a person, a life that was lived, and being they're buried at the church, I have to believe that they had faith. So those tombs just speak as a witness to God. And when something speaks, we should listen. They speak of faith that these people had, and faith that's been passed down generation to generation. So what is this faith? And what's so important about it? Well, faith, if you try to define it, I suppose, it's sort of like making a recipe, maybe, or cooking something. You add a little bit of trust, you know, significant amount of belief, some confidence, stir in some hope, and get some assurance in there as well. It's all these things and more. It's hard to fully define faith, but it's something I can't imagine life without it. If we didn't have faith, it'd be like not having hope. There would be no point in life. You might as well go out and rob banks and drink all you want and whatever else because it doesn't matter. Well, we know different. We know better as believers. We have faith. This faith, according to Hebrews, is a confidence in what we hope for and assurance of what we do not see. So as a scientist, that's one of the things that fascinates me about God is I have no empirical evidence. I cannot weigh, measure, take a picture of anything with God. Yet I know how real he is. Having experiences in the spirit is just fascinating because I can come out of a vision or something like that and have no evidence. I can't prove to anybody that it happened. But I know how real it is. And if you've experienced God, you know how real he is. If you've experienced his goodness, if you've experienced his faithfulness, if you've experienced, been immersed in his love, you know how real he is. And that gives us something to live for. So where does this faith come from? Well, according to Paul in Romans 10:17, he writes, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message. And the message is heard through the word about Christ. So faith comes from hearing the message in this word. Okay. Well, even for a little kid who's too young to read, they have not read this word, but they've heard about it. They hear about it. And not just from pastors. We are the priesthood of all believers. We should all be witnessing. If you got kids from the time they were little, you told them about Jesus. You told them about God. You shared your faith with them. They were hearing. And thus, they were able to have faith and believe. So we all have a job in this department to raise up the next generation, to help out with neighbor kids, nieces, nephews, whomever, to pass on this faith that has been passed on to us. Because we heard it from many people, not just a pastor, like I say. We heard it from parents, Sunday school teachers, relatives, friends, neighbors. They've all poured into us. They have awakened the faith within us and built up the faith in us to help it to do that. And we have a job then to pass it on to the next generation as well. Think about how many generations it's passed through now. You're the recipient 2,000 some years later. Wouldn't it be fascinating to trace that back? Someone that really made a difference in your life, someone that made a difference in their life before with faith, and someone else, and we could trace it all the way back. It would all go back to Jesus and the 12. From there it spread and continues to spread, right, to all nations, all nations. So to pass it on then, not all of us are gifted in, you know, preaching the word, of course. We all have different gifts, but we receive it from others, like we said, and Deuteronomy declares that. So let's just take a look at that lesson from Deuteronomy today. It starts out, these are the commands, decrees, and the laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you're crossing the Jordan to possess, all right? So the commands, the decrees, and the laws. If God commands something, if God decrees something, we should be paying attention. If God sets forth a law, we should be following it. The Ten Commandments, I've heard it said, are not the Ten Suggestions. Yeah, they are commandments from God, which is serious, okay? You can get a command from a superior officer, from your boss at work, maybe from your wife or whatever. And it's wise probably to follow those, right? But if it's a command from God, we're talking next level. Way next level. And how seriously do we take his commands? As a society, as a nation, and as individuals. We can try to justify, well, I can do this because, you know, nah, we can't justify it. So we are to follow these so that you, your children, and their children, again, going through the graveyard, if I go up to inherit, I can walk back through four or five generations. You've probably got places similar to that. So that your children and their children may fear the Lord your God as long as you live. Passing this on once again. That's how it's kept alive for over 2,000 years. That's how it's going to keep alive until Jesus comes again. So it continues then with the Shema, something that the Jews recite every morning. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. They start out their day with that. and to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. You probably read that one before, too. In more places in Deuteronomy, right? Jesus himself says that. The greatest commandment, right, is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and prophets are summed up in these. If you want to sum everything up from the law and the prophets, I mean the Old Testament, and the New as well, to love God and love others. That's what we're called to do as Christians. Our lives should demonstrate that. Our lives should show that we are faithful to God by following his commands, by loving him, by spending the time worshiping him, engaging in conversation with him through prayer, or just walking down the road. And to love others. Our lives should show that as well. This is one of the symptoms of being a Christian, that we're loving others, that we're caring for others, that we're being there for others, setting aside ourselves, our time, to engage with others. All right, these commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Can't get much closer than that. Impress them on your children. Again, passing it on, right? Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. So we could certainly set aside time for family devotions. Highly recommend it with kids, grandkids, whatever. But to make it a part of daily life is the deal here. When you're sitting down to eat, when you're sitting around the house, when you're walking down the road, it's a part of who we are and what we do. It's our identity as Christians. It's our daily life. And that way you're demonstrating to people as well that this is not just something for an hour on Sunday morning. No, this is all the time. Being a Christian is a full-time job. And there are no off days. No time off. That doesn't sound fun, no time off. But no, in this way, it's a joy. It's a joy to be in connection with God, to serve him. And yeah, there's no off days. We're on duty full-time. Serving our God, praising him, loving him, and loving others. All right? To tie them, these commands as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. And you see pictures of Orthodox Jews. They're going to have these leather straps around their arms with the commands on them and a little phylactery box on their forehead held there by a band. Absolutely. So they took that very literally. Tie them to the door frames of your houses and gates. You visit a Jewish house, you're going to see a little box there on the door frame. It's in a certain place. It has to be inspected by a rabbi occasionally, but again, taking it very literally. Now, that's all well and good, but following what the commands say is more important. Again, to love God and to love others in our daily life. To train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. To pass it on, this important thing, this faith. I could pass on a lot of things to my kids. My savings account, the contents of my gun safe, someday they'll all go to the kids. But what I would really like to pass on is faith. I would really like to pass that on. I want my kids to grow up to believe that they would pass that on to the next generation as well. That's probably the most important thing to me. So in your daily life then, live it out as a Christian. The author of Hebrews also writes about faith. We'd heard that in the reading there today. We don't know who wrote Hebrews, but it's full of a lot of great things worthy of study, and we're doing that on Monday afternoons, every other Monday. We're working through Hebrews right now, so Dorothy's leading us. It starts out with a reminder. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, a great reminder. We can't get there by following the law. The law is important. These commands are important, and we ought to follow, the moral law for sure. But that can't get us to God. Only Jesus could. Only he paid that price on the cross, like we saw in that demonstration there. Only he could remove our sin to make us worthy to approach the very throne of God. Nothing impure can exist in his presence. It can't. He is that holy. He is that good. And we, as we are right now, wouldn't stand a chance. But because of what Jesus has done, we can approach that throne confidently. He opened up the curtain, that is his body. The curtain was torn when he was on the cross there. We have that direct connection to God now. So let us take advantage of that. Let us draw near to God, it is written, with a sincere heart and with full assurance that faith brings. Faith allows us then to draw near to God because we know that our debt is paid. We have faith in that. Having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, you can get rid of that as well. Having our bodies washed with pure water. Okay. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. For he who promised is faithful. Unswervingly to that hope. We can hold on to that hope. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Here we go, passing it on again, building others up in their faith, encouraging them in their walk with God. Let us consider how we may spur one another on. How can we do that? Well, meeting together, writing texts, letters, emails to people, encouraging them in their faith, talking about God with them, sharing a testimony about what God has done in your life. That makes a huge difference. In Revelation, we'll hear that the good side wins because of the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Powerful, powerful. You hear some testimonies. It's the church that Jill and I went to last weekend down in Iowa. It was testimony day, so they were passing the microphone to different people that shared how God had made a difference in their lives. And one lady, she got up and she just shared about how she had grown up in her very screwed up situation, how she had turned to other things. Nothing could satisfy until she found Jesus, and now her whole life is turned around. It was an incredible story, an incredible witness. And it spurred us on as well. Okay, so spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. In coming here together, we're all believers. We gather together, we meet together, and we encourage one another. It's a wonderful thing. And all the more as you see the day approaching. The day is approaching. Every day is a day closer, of course. And until Jesus comes again, we have a mission to do. We have a mission to complete. We've been tasked with God with a mission. Now, again, following his commands is important, but if he gives us a mission to complete, I'd say it's important too. If it's coming from God, extremely important. And that's what we'd heard in Matthew today. Until he comes again. The 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. Jesus said, this is the resurrected Christ now, and he says, I'm going to give you the coordinates of this place in Galilee. I'll meet you there. So the disciples went and waited. The remaining 11 went and waited. Sure enough, of course, Jesus comes. Well, imagine that. He promised he would, and he does. Yeah, go figure. Okay. When they saw him, they worshipped him. But some doubted. I'm intrigued by that. They doubted if it was Jesus, or they doubted if they should worship him. Because, hey, this is a human guy that we've known. No, he's more than that. He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. But then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. He has all authority. Absolutely. 100%. Over everything. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. All people, groups, everywhere. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. We got the evidence of the Trinity right there. So we are to do that. Well, not all of us are going to go to Africa. Not all of us are going to South America. Not all of us are going to go to some remote island in the Indian Ocean. But there are people around us that we can encourage, that we can share our faith with, that we can build up in the faith. And the baptizing, maybe you haven't baptized someone. You sure can. It's not restricted to pastors to do that. But sharing your belief, right? He who believes and is baptized, share your belief with them. And teaching them. Alrighty? Baptizing and teaching. And they're equally important to teach others. Especially the young ones. The young ones we had up here today. And others, that they could grow up with hope, that they could grow up with confidence, with belief, with trust in a higher in God. I mean, as we say, a higher power, but we're going to say God for sure. And they can pass it on to the next generation. Let us foster that. Let us nurture that. Let us do everything we can to help our youth. They're being challenged by so many things today. They're being told so many lies through their cell phone, through the TVs, through their friends. You know, we were told a lot of things as kids too, but it's even worse now. It's even tougher for them. Pray for them. Work with them. Encourage them. that they can pass on to the next generation as well, and that the Church of Christ can just grow. It can just multiply. It can encompass more and more people, because it's not God's will that any should perish, right? But that all should come to repentance. So let us be teachers, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. Not some things, everything he has commanded. And then the words of assurance: surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. A promise from God. He is with us. Not just only when two or more are gathered, and he certainly is there, but he is with us. His spirit lives within us. And when we come together, our spirits connect. We can feel that presence. We can worship him in an incredible way. So let us be faithful witnesses, passing on what we have benefited from to others. Again, faith comes from hearing. Let them hear from us. Amen.